And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 10th of September, 2024. And you're very welcome along to another edition of the 9 till noon show. And loads to keep you informed and entertained over the next 3 hours. Community Garda information coming up after 10, that and so much more besides. So we want your involvement in the programme, of course, 086-6025000 is the WhatsApp and text, 086-6025000, or give us a call on 07491-25000 and emails to comments at highlandradio.com. We landed into Derry yesterday evening. We were very well looked after, as always, at City of Derry Airport, and I'd left my phone on the plane, quite embarrassingly, and in a jiffy they went and got it for me, so thanks to all the staff there. I felt a bit silly, but they didn't make me feel silly themselves. It was just me. And we were on our way back from visiting London, the Irish Vintage Show. It was on Sunday. It was a fantastic day, it has to be said. And it was lovely to meet, obviously, people from Donegal who went over just for the weekend. We were chatting to loads of them, but also to touch base again with the Donegal people. Not just Donegal people, met some lovely people from Roscommon, Mayo, all over the country. And it was lovely to get a chat to them and have the crack. And it was great fun. And since the last time I sat in this seat, we, of course, were down at the on Greenon Theatre, where we had a special show platforming our 4 finalists for Irish Music Month. And what I might do now is just remind you that voting is open in that competition. You can go to our website. And our 4 finalists, first up on Friday, was Zoe McCauley. And her track, Wait and See, absolutely cracking. She was incredibly popular in the theatre on the day, as was Tessio. It's a very familiar song now, isn't it? All the 4 of them become very familiar when you hear them quite a bit. And we also had the Efays down there performing live. They were fantastic as well. And I'm not just saying that. Everyone agreed that all 4 on the day were fantastic. And also, last but not least, was Owen Ferry with Miss You, and he also sang a cracking track as well that was sort of a mix-up of Maniac 2000 and others. You can listen to those tracks in full on our website, highlandradio.com. Just go to the Irish Music Month tab, and you can vote on which one you want to go forward to represent Highland Radio. There are going to be a long list of 21 national finalists, which will be whittled down to 6 that go forward to a very special show. So which one of those 4 do you think is the best? Which one of those 4 do you think will go on to enjoy success in that competition? Go to the website. You can see the live performances and vote there. Those votes then are combined with a panel of judges' votes, and a collective decision is made then as to who will win. Collective amongst the public and the judges, of course. Right, OK, let's have a look at the papers this morning, starting with the Irish Independent. You heard Donal reference this perhaps on the news. Bright coloured disposable vapes with exotic tobacco flavours will be banned under legislation being drafted by Health Minister Stephen Donnelly. The minister will bring a memo to the Cabinet this morning outlining his plan to ban all disposable vapes. Now, the disposable vapes have also been highlighted as one of the biggest new litter problems as well by the organisations that sort of collate that information. But obviously there is the health element to it as well, and the addiction amongst young people particularly. The legislation will crack down on the thousands of different flavoured vapes available. He also wants to place restrictions on colours and imagery on packaging to ensure they're not aimed at younger people. And Mr. Donnelly will seek Cabinet approval to begin the process of drafting legislation, and the new legislation would result in significant restrictions on vapes, which is perhaps too late for this generation and the generation before and before that, but perhaps it'll be a change that will in some way maybe stop people who've never smoked or anything for that matter becoming becoming addicted to that. Some breaking news this morning as well. You might have been anticipating a case in Europe. It's about this 13 billion euro of tax to Ireland. It's a case that's been running on now since, what, 2016? Well, Apple has lost its fight against the European Commission's ruling that it underpaid 13 billion in tax due to Ireland. The European Court of Justice has set aside the judgment of the lower general court, which previously overturned the Commission's decision. The Court of Justice found that the general court erred when it ruled that the Commission had not proved sufficiently that the intellectual property licenses held by 2 Apple companies, Apple Sales International and Apple Operations Europe, and related profits generated by sales of Apple products outside the United States should have been allocated for tax purposes to the Irish branches. In its original ruling, the European Commission probe found that two tax rulings, 91 and 2007, issued by revenue to the firm, had substantially and artificially lowered the tax paid by Apple in Ireland since 1991. So who's to say where that goes now? There were three kind of options: that could have been referred down to a lower court. Ireland and Apple could have won, or the EU could have won. The EU have won that now, so we'll see what happens. That $13 billion doesn't necessarily flood into the coffers to be spent on stuff here, because I think there is a distribution of that $13 billion, if that is not appealed and the decision is acted upon, if you get where I'm coming from. But anyway, Ireland and Apple have lost that case. Very significant moment this evening, overnight, in the United States as part of the US election. Of course, perhaps for the only time, because it's the only scheduled debate, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump will come face to face. They've never met before, these two. And it's framed as the most important appearance of Kamala Harris's political life will take place today, that's 2 a.m. tomorrow, in the city known as the birthplace of America. The Democratic presidential candidate, hotly anticipated ABC televised debate with Donald Trump in Philadelphia, coincides with a new poll placing a better election campaign as a virtual dead heat. A bitter election campaign, I beg your pardon. After the euphoric summer gusts created by Harris's late entry into the election campaign, the terse numbers reflect a division which deep down every American understands. So it's pretty much 50-50 in the polls. It's not 50-50, it's like 47-47. But this is going to be really significant because they have to decide how to approach this. It's going to have a massive viewership, as you can imagine. What is her public face? I'm not sure it's there. It's not established yet. So it'll be very interesting to see how she presents herself. And it'll be very interesting to see how Donald Trump performs in that environment as well. So that's 2 a.m. on that's 2 a.m. on Irish time. Irish Daily Mail: more than 50 cafes and restaurants close every month across Ireland. Ireland's restaurant sector is witnessing an abnormal level of closures, with more than 50 businesses shutting down every month in the year since the VAT rate was hiked. New figures from the Restaurants Association of Ireland show that a total of 612 food businesses closed since the hospitality VAT rate returned to 13.5% from the reduced 9% last September. That represents a rate of 51 closures every month, or almost 12 a week, but the government is standing firm on its refusal to reduce the levy. The RAI has blamed the sky-high costs of doing business for the closure of hundreds of restaurants, cafes and gastropubs in the last 12 months. Just last month, 35 businesses shut up shop, while the RAI says that many others are anxiously awaiting for budget 2025 on October 1st before deciding if they can keep their doors open. What would you like to see done in that situation? I know a lot of people feel that that VAT rate reduction is not necessarily passed on. I'm not sure really that's the benefit of it. It's to try and make these businesses more sustainable. Maybe it could be somewhat more nuanced, so it doesn't feel like we're rewarding those that gouge. You know, a lot of people in Dublin, or if you've been to Dublin, would know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe they could come up with some sort of a system where those who don't gouge are rewarded or supported in their business, and the big massive companies that seem to be able to do whatever they like don't get the benefits of that. Irish wind farms set records for power. This is The Sun this morning. Irish wind farms set new records in August. According to Wind Energy Ireland, wind power generation totaled 1,068 gigawatt hours, an increase of 3% compared to the previous years. And wind farms met just over one third of Ireland's electricity demand in August of 24. Solar power and other renewables accounted for 6% of Ireland's electricity, meaning that 40% of Ireland's electricity came from renewable sources. And yet we continue to pay through the teeth for electricity. On to two brief stories. One in the Star here now. Celebrity architect Hugh Wallace has called on the government to increase the vacant property grant in the upcoming budget. It comes as he finalises the energy upgrades of his new Dublin 6, so Dublin 8 home, and gives us a sneak preview of the restoration of the derelict property in Dublin city centre. Look, he's promoting a show, but he believes the vacant property grant is fantastic and should be increased to 100k, and I think a lot of people might agree with him on that. And finally, the Irish Daily Mirror. There is plenty of money around depending on which circles you move in. Oasis fans in Ireland spent an average of €347 each to snap up tickets to the reunited band's Dublin gigs next summer, which is really bizarre. Like, as I said before in the programme, Liam did the entire Definitely Maybe album in Belfast a couple of weeks ago, 40 quid or 60 quid a ticket, and they couldn't sell out 40,000. And look now, because they come back together, the reach they have. Figures from AIB showed its customers splurged 6.3 million on the shows at Croke Park when sales went live on August 31st. The latest AIB spend trend revealed that that day saw the highest average transaction value for tickets among the bank's customers so far this year. On average, €347. All right, that's a run through the newspapers. If there's anything you'd like to comment on in relation to some of those topics, or indeed to raise your own, please get in touch with us right now. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or you can give us a call on 074 91 25000. And so you would have heard over the weekend that Housing Minister Dara O'Brien's expected to bring a memo to Cabinet to bring the maximum grant for remediation work on defective concrete homes from €420,000 to €462,000. The proposal is expected to be brought to government a little later this month. Let's get some reaction to this and see what the general public think on it. Councillor Dennis McGee's with me. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for your time today.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Okay, so I suppose we'll start with perhaps what is the positive news. I take it that this is seen as a positive, that more money will be available for people engaging with this scheme going forward.
Yeah, I mean, on the face of it, when it came out, it was very positive. You always have to welcome any increase to the cap. You know what I mean? We know the scheme isn't perfect, but I was talking to Charlie McConnell yesterday, and I put it to him. I says, the 10% cap, is it going to be retrospective? Is everybody going to gain from this year? And the quick answer was no, which is, in my opinion, very disheartening. You know, there's a lot of fanfare around, you know, we're going to increase it by 10%, this, that, and the other thing. And then what about the poor families that have already started, you know, the remediation of these houses? Like, what are they to do? Like,
in relation to that, do you believe it should be retrospective to anyone who's ever engaged in this scheme, or are you saying it should be retrospective to those that are already sort of in the process of engaging with the scheme? How retrospective do you want it?
Total retrospective. Anybody that has engaged with the scheme at any stage. I mean, why can you, or how can they discriminate against people that had to start the scheme because the house was falling in on top of them? And the 10% is no good for people that don't reach the cap. You know, the whole thing is just a mess from start to finish. I mean, before I go on talking about, you know, the scheme itself, like, you know, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, like, you know, but I was with a family last week that got the outer leaf built. I know this is different to what we're talking about, like, but I think that the whole scheme is a mess, from engineers to builders, that they're doing a complete mess and they're putting families through hell.
What was the situation with that family who got the outer leaf done?
The outer leaf, Greg, was done, but the pictures I was shown, Greg, was horrendous. They were building on top of blocks that were absolutely like Weetabix.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's criminal, Greg. And I put up a post the last day, like, you know, I mean, this has to be called out. Like, these builders are following engineers' instructions to do this here. Engineers Ireland have to come out and instruct their engineers to have quality control there. Like, there's absolutely no quality control. This man is pretty much doing the engineers' work, mm-hmm. having to go around when the builders leave, and then to be faced with arrogant builders to tell them, you're nothing but trouble and causing concern. This family was on their knees, Greg.
In that case, because I made inquiries on behalf of a couple of families in relation to that, not saying it's the same case, Dennis, but they were told that they are to make... what is the organisation responsible for it? The home... that'll come to me in a second. To make them aware of it, and that they will come out, and if those rising walls are rotten, they will increase the grant so that they can be replaced and built on. Is that the information that you have?
Yeah, but isn't that madness, Greg? Like, that there's no quality control there. Why does that family have to go around and check the builder's work?
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake, are they talking about, like, we're talking about trying to save money for the state here. The child on the street knows that that wall is going to crumble because it's sitting atop a Weetabix.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole scheme is just a mess from start to finish, and they're just putting families through more and more and more heartache every day of the week. Like, they come out a big fanfare, 10% increase. It's a sham. All these, and as far as the downgrading goes, that's another sham, Greg. It is just a complete mess. Like,
just in relation to the 10%, Dennis, I presume, right, and I have to play devil's advocate here, I presume the 10% is to account for the increased cost of construction. So that, say, for instance, between the original figure and now, they're allowing an extra 10% to accommodate any increase in building costs and what have you. And if that were to continue going forward, does that not make it incredibly different for them to do it retrospectively?
Yeah, I know, but it's 10%. Does that tell you that the products within construction have gone up 10%? I think products have gone up maybe 20%, 30%. Like. So, they're late to the game, Greg. Like.
Well, poured concrete's, you know, doubled. I mean? It's doubled in price.
Of course,
yeah.
Like.
Okay.
I mean, in my opinion, there should be no cap. Build the house like for like. Leave the people with the houses that they had. You know, go after these quarries, people that sold them the stuff. Like, absolutely ridiculous what's going on.
All right, stay with me, please. I want to also bring in Deputy Paul McLaughlin's going to join us in a moment, but he might be keen also to hear from Mary Regan, who's with us. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
What's your situation, Mary?
Well, my situation is the house is demolished. That took, from start to finish, it took nearly a month. I was told the house would be down before the end of August. That didn't happen. It was very traumatic. And now they have put down some kind of foundations, and I'm told that's an extra 10,000. I'm already 36,000 over budget. What I paid for the house in 2016, that's all the council are allowing me to rebuild that same house in 2024. My house would have been built for a lot less, but because I've been dealing with this since 2016. I've had different contractors, and one guy coming along and sitting in my kitchen and saying, I'll have your timber frame house up in 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I don't hear from him. And then it's Christmas. And they use every occasion like to push everything forward. I mean, the summer holidays were just unbelievable. But an extra 10,000 that I badly need. I'm going to be very honest with you. The way this is affecting me personally, my physical health is quite good. My mental health is gone off the wall. I wake up every morning with a fright, and that is God's gospel truth. And my heart is thumping. And then I realize, right, okay, you're awake. It's another day. How am I going to face it? What am I going to hear today? So, I mean, even if I don't, you know what I mean? Now they're talking about not giving us that 10%, and all they have done is put down a bit of concrete. I mean, it's just one law for one crowd and a different law for other people. You know, if I was told in 2020 my house would have to be demolished, and my engineer told me on a Zoom call because it was COVID, it was lockdown, and he said, Mary, you'll be sorted in 2022. Now, here we are, 2024, and all is that the house is demolished. It's a very tight space where my house is, so that's going to be extra problems. It's just nobody realises what we're going through. Like, I'm just even going to go back to clearing out the house. Like, my family did most of that, but then getting it, the stuff all moved. No money allowed for anything like that. And, you know, and nothing for, like, your mental health. I mean, I'm going to be 74 in October. Mm-hmm. And I thought at this stage of my life, you know, I would have a bit of peace. But it gets worse and worse. It's not getting better. Yeah. It's getting worse. And I really don't know where I'm going to end up. And that, I'm telling the truth.
And you're blessed with decent physical health, but you can't enjoy it because of the mental toll this is taking on you.
Oh, Mary, the mental torture is awful.
Do you know how far short, or do you allow yourself to even think of how much money on top of whatever you might receive of a payment, how short are you to put the house back up?
36,000.
That's at this stage.
I'm 36,000 on the present quote. Now, the other, as I say, last Friday, I think it was, I was told there's 10,000 extra now. And like, I've been allowed 7,500 for a kitchen. Mm. Where in the name of God will you get a kitchen? You get a counter maybe for it now with a few presses. I hate to say it, and I shouldn't even, but I can't envisage seeing this house at all. Like, will I, with the mental strain on me, will I ever see it? It's and the fact too that, you know, okay, it's in a housing estate. We didn't cause the problems. We should be able to build. I should be able to build a smaller house. What difference does it make? I mean, you go into a private housing estate, the houses are all different. So why does it make any difference that I should be able to build? I should be able to build a smaller house. I didn't bring this problem on myself. This was my divorce settlement, my forever home. And anybody that knows me knows the way it was furnished and everything. I put my last penny into it. Mm-hmm. And it's the most, I think, in my married life, I went through two house fires, both, you know, ridiculous things that happened. And the second one, I had three children. My baby was 6 weeks old. But we did get through it. Yes, I had a husband then, and we did get through it. But on my own now, and when you close your hall door at night, you're on your own. My wee dog, if that dog could talk, he'd say he doesn't want to hear about defective blocks again. I mean, it's going on. Since 2016, this cloud has been over us, and it's not been lifted. It just gets worse and worse. I mean, I could have had the house built for about 40,000 less if the contractor had gone ahead at the time. And, you know, it's terrible, like, you know, having to make contact and, I just can't explain. I'm at my wit's end. I'm totally at my wit's end. Like, if people outside it, when you tell them about it, they laugh. They do laugh. They say, "Oh, you're joking." No, you know, people down south, some don't even know what we're going through. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. You know, true. And as I say, it's a thing like packing up the house and everything. It was mental torture. We want to see, now, I'm very, very lucky. I have a brilliant landlord, Tommy McGinley, and he's got out of his way to make the alternative accommodation I'm in, you know, habitable for me. And my furniture is in a big storeroom. But I paid, I had an uncle who said, don't buy the Jerry thing, buy the right thing. I'm not a person that changes stuff every year. Like, in 16 years, all I changed was soft furnishings in one room, and that was curtains and cushions. In 16 years. And I'm looking at that furniture now, and it's all on top of one another, and it's going to be destroyed, no matter how good, like, your accommodation is or whatever.
Mary, in terms of trying to organise it all, do you have to try? Is that your job, effectively? Are you, like, the project lead on it?
I have an architect and I have a contractor, but, I mean, I don't know what's right, what's wrong. How could a woman of my age know anything?
I know what you're saying.
And even trying to sell the windows, you can't get rid of them now because there's so many, as somebody said, there's so many windows available in Donegal at the moment. You know, I've lost out a lot. In where there are small things, I mean, I had an alarm in my house, I had cameras on my house, I had outdoor plugs all around the house. You know, yeah, the small things, but I never have those again. Mm. I never had what I had. I never get what I had before. And it's, you know, I don't think they realise the mental anguish. I don't think they do. there's not enough being done about it. So I just have to, hope like that's the latest is this 10,000. What's going to be next? I mean, to think that there's 10,000 going to be allowed, but I won't get it. And now there's an extra 10 on my contract.
It's like a double whammy.
It is a double whammy.
Mary, I'm so sorry for everything that you're going through. I mean, if we want us to get you in contact with anyone to talk and stuff like that, we can talk about that off air, Mary. But I know you're an incredibly strong woman, but it's just an incredibly difficult situation. Mary, I'll let you go. Thank you. Did you want to say one other thing? Yes.
Right,
no, Mary, finish your point, please.
No.
I want you to feel that
that's what people all say to me. You're a strong woman. But, as you get on in life, there's only so much you can do. You got the contract and it was all, what in the name of God do I know about building contracts? I was never, was in a situation where we built a house. You know, they were secondhand houses. So I don't know anything. I mean, anybody could fool me up to the eyes. And it's just a terrible state. And only that I have people that have been very good to me, that have stood by me. And one of those people is Paddy Dipper. Mark McDermott's been very good to me. I'm in constant contact on a friendly basis with Anne Owens, and it's always a pleasure to talk to her because she was one of the women that started this whole thing. We'd have nothing but for her and Eileen Doherty, nothing. I suppose there's no bad situation in life that some good doesn't come out of, and I have met some incredible people through this whole scheme. But I'm sure they were prepared not to have met me, under the auspices that we have met.
I don't want to be dramatic, and I can't. How could you be any more dramatic than this, Mary? But it really saddens me that with everything that you've went through, and you've outlined some of that, that at the time of your life where you should be able to enjoy that good health or have some peace of mind, that you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, and it's quite the opposite. It's a living nightmare for you, and it sounds to me like, Mary, that you don't see, the horizon, that you feel that, right, is this going to be it for the rest of my time here? And no one should be put in that situation, least of all you, Mary. It's absolutely devastating.
But the other thing, just another thing, Greg, my prognosis for the rest of my life is living in a building site, because each house where I live has it. And it's just, it depends on the aspect of your house. Mine really, there's been one house rebuilt. And, it literally depends because we're on a hill, and the lock is just over to one side of us. Yeah. And, it's a chronic situation.
And your options and your resources and your worth has been taken from you as well in all of this. So, in other words, you don't have the options because the thing that maybe you could have gotten money out of is completely worthless. So you have to sit there and go through it, Mary. Listen, thank you so much for your time, Mary. I just wish I wish it was a different situation. It's impossible to know what to say, to be honest with you.
So do I. So
all right, Mary.
So
thank
do
you.
I, Greg.
Thank you so very much indeed.
You
and stay in touch with
us. Thank
Not
you.
Anything
Bye-bye.
I can do, okay. Mary. Thank you very much indeed. Paddy Dipper is going to join us in a moment. I just want to have a word with Sinn Féin Deputy Páirc McLoughlin. I mean, what can you? What could anyone add to that story, Páirc? How can we be treating our people, especially our older citizens, but not exclusively? But how can we treat them like this? Mary's in a horrible situation.
Yeah, everything that's wrong with the scheme is what Mary has just told us. Mary is a woman who I know. She's in her 70s. She's a formidable woman, but she'll forgive me for saying she's not a young woman anymore. And we have so many families in Donegal in their 60s, in their 70s, who can't access the finance, who can't access the scheme. And the problem is this is not a 100% redress scheme like the Pyrite Remediation Scheme. 3,000 families, Greg, in Dublin and North Leinster, 3,000 plus families availed of the Pyrite Remediation Scheme. It was run by the state. From start to finish, it wasn't a grant scheme, it's a redress scheme. And we have to ask again this morning, why is it that people in Donegal, Mayo, Clare, Limerick have to go through all of this hell, those who can get onto the scheme? Most people in Donegal who are victims of this scandal cannot get onto the scheme right now. And to add insult to injury now, they're talking about increasing the cap but not making it available. as was the case in the past, as you know, Greg, when they brought in the new enhanced grant scheme, those who availed of the previous scheme could benefit from the increased caps.
But you know the background to this and the mechanisms of it, though. Is it not the reality that if these increases are linked to perhaps increased costs, that if at every point or at every juncture you made them retrospective, it would just blow the numbers into the stratosphere? I'm not saying that's not the way it should be, because, you know, most people feel everyone should get 100% redress, but such is the way it is. Can you understand at all as to why they can't make this 10% increase retrospective?
No, I can't understand it, and I'll tell you why. The 420,000 cap, that was actually announced back in 2021. Back in 2021, the legislation came in 2022, July 2022. It took an entire year almost for the scheme to come operational. So that was, what, about a year and a half lost. And then it was a year before they review it. So we're now playing catch up. And it's not just the issue of the cap. There's also the issue of the square meter rates. So back in March, 6 months ago, the Society of Chartered Surveyors Ireland, they're tasked with assessing what it costs per square meter. And they clearly demonstrated an increase in costs. That hasn't been applied yet. Like, that was supposed to be applied pretty much automatically. So we're running behind. So families who, and the other thing, Greg, is that there were families who just couldn't wait. I mean, you know better than anybody, the moldy rooms, the blocks falling apart could land on top of you, the side of the house. They couldn't wait. They had to get on with it. But they were never to be punished. They were called early starters. They were never to be punished for increased rates. So this is really, really cruel. And I've written to the Minister, Dara O'Brien, yesterday. He needs to make sure when he announces the cap, that it applies to all persons who are on the scheme. And I need to also increase the square meter rates, both at the same time.
All right, stay there, Paddy Differ. We're just back from London there, and there was two or three major topics still, which is unbelievable. And the top one, because an awful lot of people from Inishowen and other parts of the county were over there, was defective concrete. And the conversations were people waiting. They can't heat the house. The house is drafty. There's black mould everywhere. It's fallen down, but they don't want to get caught out if there's changes to the scheme. And yet here we are. This is exactly what's happening. There's people living in homes that are not safe or healthy to live in. And they're holding off to see what happens. And then we have that cohort, Paddy, of those that have engaged with the scheme because things got so bad. And they're sitting there now thinking, why did I do that? Why didn't I wait and see? And that's, I think, a very serious fundamental flaw, one of them, with this scheme, Paddy. I don't know how you want to phrase it. You're the man that knows.
I just think it's a total and utter disgrace in the government. I blame the government as well. Like, for the SESA rates, as Paddy just says, they came out there in September. They came out there in March. But previously to that, in October, the government knew the rates. It's the government's delays that now we're being penalised. Like, at the moment, you just think of it. Everybody now that's listening to this radio here now that's on a scheme at the moment, they're out of this 10%. They're losing us 10%. They're losing the rates as well. Don't forget about the rates. They're losing the rates as well. This is life-changing money to some people. And the emotional turmoil and the mental health side of stuff that people have been going through, living in black mould houses and condemned homes. And now to get this news now that that's what they're going, that the government's going to put this on, the Fianna Fáil minister, Dara O'Brien, and the Fianna Fáil minister, Charlie McConnell, that you would think wouldn't have allowed this to happen. It is happening right in front of us. It's like another kick in the stomach. I can't believe it. It's the amount of people that's phoning last night and this morning. There's people phoning and crying down the phone. And so you could listen to Mary Regan there a minute ago. Instead of put a tear to anybody's eye, how the God, as government's doing this to us, it's just beyond belief.
Have you said that you received a commitment or was it a conversation with Minister O'Brien that stated that any changes would be retrospective or that people who get onto the scheme right now wouldn't be disadvantaged? I'm sure I've done interviews with people saying, look, get on the scheme. And I kind of feel complicit now in this whole thing if people are going to miss out in this money, because I thought people were saying that in good faith.
No, it definitely was. He said it. He stated in the Oireachtas that he promised that any early movers wouldn't be penalised. That's in the Oireachtas. That's in black and white.
So what next, Paddy? Are you hoping that, us talking about this now, that, it lands on the right ears, that the before the decision's actually made, that the, government reverse this or change the proposals?
Well, the sad reality is this is not a time to stay silent. It's for the people. I know you need a, everybody's frustrated. Everybody's ready to, they don't know what they're ready to do. They're turning, going around in circles, ready to crack up. But it's not a time for doing that. You're going to have to vent your frustrations. You're going to have to get out and get onto your ministers, get onto the radios, papers, do whatever it can be doing. Listen, there's over Facebook people saying that, listen, we need to be storming Leinster House. We need to be going another trip to Dublin. This is hell on earth. And I totally understand all that there. And I think it's going to get to the stage now. The groups are going to have to come together. We've got the problem with the IS-465. We've got this massive problem here now of the government thinking that they can delay raising the rates by over 2 years. And when they do raise it 10%, they penalise the people that was the early movers. Like, how wrong is this? So I do think it's time that we do bang our heads together and realise what are we going to do next.
The problem is,
we
are somewhat isolated, though, because I think if you polled 1,000 people down the country, they think this is sorted. They believe that this is sorted, that the government sorted this onto the next thing. And unfortunately,
yeah,
I think many
exactly.
in the national media believe that's the case as well.
Yeah, but that's the narrative that they're putting out there. Like, you see our minister, Charlie McConnell, going out there and telling the whole of Ireland that we're now getting 500 million. But so the devil's always always in the detail. Like, if Charlie McConnell had a chance to have a good news story, finally, we would have had a chance to have a good news story and make themselves look good. But no, we all knew straight away, this is kind of too good to be true here. There'll be some devil in the detail wrong here. And lo and behold, there was. They wasted an opportunity to look good.
Right, okay. Paddy, thanks.
And not only that, Craig, whenever you think about it, like, if you could talk to Martin McDermott there or somebody that would know the numbers, but from what I'm led to believe, the numbers aren't even that bad. This would only be costing the state, not to say only, but for the times it's in it and the emotional turmoil that everybody's gone through, this is only a difference of about 3 or 4 million. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That is the figures that we're talking. When you take about the amount of number of people that's affected us on the scheme at the minute.
Well, when you think we've taken in 37 billion, I think, in corporation tax in 3 years alone in this decade, 37 billion in corporation tax. Surely some of that can be used to deal with situations.
Yeah, well,
like
definitely.
This.
Well, there's no other two ways of looking at it. It's from the minister, Fianna Fáil's minister, Dara Breen's gift to give. It is. So that means that Charlie McConnell, our minister up here, should be putting on pressure. And if there's no pressure and they don't do any of these right things and they don't hurry up and change this IS-465, well, Fianna Fáil's days should be numbered, finished in Donegal. And it's coming up to election year. They should have the common sense to realise that if they're going to try and do anything right, I would say with this that's probably with this 10% was coming up to make Charlie and Fianna Fáil look better in Donegal. But they've made an absolute hames of it. Like, there's people in a total emotional stress at the minute. Their stress levels is through the roof, and it's just so wrong.
Well, I mean, you heard Mary, and you've heard Mary before. You know her. I know you speak to her off air regularly, but look at the situation. But I suppose, you know, you say there's an election coming up and there's going to be big calls going to have to be made about elections in terms of candidates and the impacts of that and all that type of stuff. Not something we can do today, but, you know, that's what's going to have to happen. Paddy, listen, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Well, one last thing,
no,
Greg,
go ahead, yeah.
Because when the ink's dry on us here and they allowed us to go through, that's it. There'll be no going back on us 10% or the rates. So it's up to everybody out there now to make their voices heard. Get on social media and let the people know if you're so willing to go to Dublin, if you're so willing to storm Leinster House. There's people on about blocking airports, etc. But the more people that make noise, the more people we know that the numbers is there. There's not a time for sitting back. People need to show their frustration, whatever way they can.
Mm-hmm. All right, OK. Thank you very much indeed. Paddy Diver there. And I know Paddy, when he's talking about certain stuff, he means metaphorically and not necessarily literally. Deputy Pádraig McLaughlin, I mean, from your perspective, you know, where's your party's role in this? You've put on the record, you know, your commitment, what you say you would do if you happen to get into power. But between now and then, really, is it just to try and exercise influence in the Dáil, to raise the conversation, the debate in the Dáil? What do you believe your party's role is at this point ahead of this expected announcement?
Well, the first thing is the people of Donegal have been treated like second-class citizens. We don't have 100% redress. We have a grant scheme that isn't working, and we've all heard what Mary has to say. So we need to continue to highlight that. There's two issues immediately, with this issue of the 10% cap and the issue of the square metre rates. They must apply to everybody on the scheme when they're increased. And there's an issue of the standards. Greg, this is madness. We have a standard, IS 465, right, where people are asked to rely on that standard to remediate their homes. That standard is not based on science. It's a desktop study. There's actually real science, internationally peer-reviewed, that's emerged, that's telling you that pyrrhotite, internal sulfate attack, is the actual cause of what's happening in the homes in Donegal. And we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and then you have engineers overrule engineers. So that's our job in the immediate. But if Sinn Féin are fortunate to be in government after the next election, we will bring in 100% redress scheme, the same as what was available for the people in Dublin and North Leinster. You need every single victim of these scandals to be treated the same all across the country.
Do you have a view as to whether 100% redress should run a candidate in Inchon, given the fact that we don't know how it would play out, right? And when I say we, I'm on about us as the general public. It could be, and it puts you in, it's actually probably not a very nice question to ask, right? Because it might sound like I'm trying to corner you, but I'm not. I think you know that, right? But I mean, you know, there are two Sinn Féin voices in Donegal that will, I imagine, be, I mean, obviously you're already in a position of influence within the party, Pádraig, but you know, there every action has a consequence, right? And you know, there's an awful lot of people support Fianna Fáil and might get Charlie McConnellogue or whomever might run with him over the line, and you could be the person that many would see as an ally that could miss out in that situation.
Yeah, well, there's three opposition TDs, Thomas Pringle, myself and Pierce Doherty, who have stood by the campaign, who have fought this journey with the campaigners the whole way through, and we will continue to do so. I mean, I can only speak for Sinn Féin in saying that the only pathway to genuine 100% redress, which is the same as the pyrite remediation scheme, the only pathway is Sinn Féin leading the next government. So I'll put that platform, Pierce Doherty will put that platform to the people of Donegal, and we're saying to you is that give us a chance to lead the next government. We have committed, and we're absolutely fully committed to justice for our people, to standing up for the people of Donegal and getting the same justice, the same redress, the same opportunity to rebuild their lives as everybody else across the country. It is a scandal that most of the affected families in Donegal cannot avail of the scheme. They will be left behind. The Sinn Féin plan is that nobody is left behind. 100% redress is there, and that's our pathway.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Deputy Pádraig McLoughlin. And Dennis, are you still there?
I'm still here,
Dennis,
Greg.
Sorry about that. I know it's some time that I came to you, and I wasn't being ignorant, but I just wanted to give everyone their say. Just to clarify, you did put two questions to Minister McConnellogue. He says, yes, there will be a 10% increase, but he also confirmed, did he, that he's trying to get it retrospective, in fairness to him, or that it's a done deal, Dennis? What was his comment in relation to that?
Yeah, that's what he said, that he was putting pressure on Craig to get it retrospective. But listen, this has gone on too long. You know, it shouldn't be a case of I'm trying to... It should be done, Craig. We're sick and tired of the same old talk. We're trying and trying. Like, we are not second-class citizens. And you touched a little bit on the election there, Greg, and I think it's important to say that if or when the election comes and the 100% redress party get a chance and we do get somebody or a few people over the line, that we won't sit idly by. We will join a government, and we will deliver, and we will make Donegal our priority for the people of Donegal. That's our commitment, because we are 100% redress, nobody left behind.
Okay.
We're sick, and Mary shouldn't have to be on the phone at 74 years of age. It is absolutely criminal what's happening in this county, and everybody should stick together. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, the independents, everybody should stick together. Everybody should just today stand up and walk with the people to Dublin and demand change and demand fairness for the people of this county, because we are being left behind, Greg, and we don't have time. Mary doesn't have time. I mean, I don't even qualify for the scheme. So, in fairness to Mary, she is getting on in her years, but I'm in my 50s. I can't see my house being rebuilt. I don't even qualify for the scheme. It's absolutely ridiculous.
All right. Okay, Dennis. Listen, thanks as always. I appreciate it. Take care of yourself. That's Councillor Dennis McGee there. And we have made inquiries to the minister's offices, the various minister's offices, with a view to getting comment from them, of course, in the interests of trying to be as fair and balanced as is possible. And we'll bring you any statements in that regard, or even if perhaps they want to make themselves available for a conversation. And speaking of defective concrete blocks, we're going into a period of time now where it's going to be really cold overnight for a couple of days this week. Hard to heat the home when it's full of cracks and to retain heat as well. We're getting into that period again where that brief respite that some people have gotten with higher temperatures is about to come to an end. But cloud and outbreaks of rain will quickly clear southwards this morning and will be followed by sunny spells and scattered showers, cool and breezy, highest temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees and a moderate to fresh and gusty west to northwest wind. And I don't know really how to phrase it, though, just in relation to this and the situation that people are going through and listening to Mary and so many others. And, you know, not everyone's prepared to speak publicly like Mary is. I mean, how we seriously have to take a look at ourselves as a nation and say, you know, how can we continue to, when we have resources, right? If we hadn't resources, we could have a whole different conversation. But when we are incredibly rich and we've just lost a court case, which means that we're going to be getting at least some, if not all, of the 13 billion, that how we could treat Mary like that, how we could treat other older people, younger people, everyone for that matter. Yet at the same time, just because you happen to live in and around Dublin and your home was affected by pyrite, that we'll do everything for you, that it's an end-to-end scheme, 100% redress, no less. Like, why, how can that, how do we want to do that? We shouldn't really even have to campaign or march or whatever, should we? We should really be saying, right, the right thing to do is the right thing to do, not argue back and forwards, because we have the resources, the money's there. That's just the truth. It's indisputable. The money is there. But anyway, we have loads of your comments coming in as well. Coming up after 10 o'clock, we've got Community Garda information with the latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána First here on Highland Radio. But first, we're going to take a break for the news and obituary notices. Rejoin us afterwards. Don't go far away.